Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 11, Text 28. Is that correct?
28.
Okay. Word for word. Twam, you, Brahma Paraman, the absolute truth, Vyoma, like the sky, you are detached from everything. Purusha, the personality of Godhead. Prakriti, the material nature. Para, transcendental. Avatina, incarnated. Asi, you are. Bhagavan, the Lord. Swa, of your own devotees. Icha, according to the desire. Upata, accepted. Pritak, different. Vapu, bodies. Tvam Brahma Paraman Yoma. Purusha Prakriti Para. Avatirnosi Bhagavan. Swecho Pata Pritag Vapu. Tvam Brahma Paraman Vyoma. Purusha Prakriti Para. Avatirnosi Bhagavan. Swecho Pata Pritag Vapu. Tvam Brahma Paraman Vyoma. Purusha Prakriti Para. Avatirnosi Bhagavan. Swecho Pata Pritag Vapu. Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis alternatively. Purusha Prakriti Para. Avatirnosi Bhagavan. Swecho Pata Pritag Vapu. Purusha Prakriti Para. Avatirnosi Bhagavan. Swecho Pata Pritag Vapu. Tvam Brahma Paramam Vyoma. Purusha Prakriti Para. Avatirnosi Bhagavan. Swecho Pata Pritag Vapu. Tvam Brahma Paramam Vyoma. Purusha Prakriti Para. Avatirnosi Bhagavan. Svecha Pata Pita Vapu. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace. My dear Lord, as the absolute truth, you are transcendental to material nature, and like the sky, you are never entangled in anything. Still, being controlled by your devotees' love, you accept many different forms, incarnating according to your devotees' desires. Purport. The pure devotees of the Lord propagate devotional service all over the world, and therefore, although separate from the personal form of the Lord, they are considered to be manifestations of God's mercy and potency. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antalila 7:11, Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tara Pavartana. The Lord is like the sky, Vyom. Because although expanded everywhere, He is not entangled in anything. He is Prakriti Para, or completely transcendental to material nature. The Lord is fully self-satisfied and is therefore indifferent to the affairs of the material world. Still, because of His causeless mercy, the Lord desires to expand pure devotional service, and for this reason, He incarnates within the material world to uplift the fallen conditioned souls. The Lord descends in selected spiritual bodies to please His loving devotees. Sometimes He appears in His original form as Krishna. And even Krishna Himself appears in different forms to special devotees, so that they may fully develop their loving sentiments for Him. Srila Jiva Goswami gives several examples of the Lord's special mercy upon His devotees. Lord Krishna personally went to the home of Jambavan, and there displayed a form with slightly angry glances. In that form, the Lord enjoined a fight with His devotee. The Lord displayed His form as Dattatreya to Achyamuni, and similarly bestowed special mercy upon Lord Brahma, the demigods, Akrura, and innumerable other devotees. And in Vrindavan, the Lord displayed His most beautiful form as Govinda to the fortunate inhabitants. Srila Madhavacharya has quoted from the Prakasha Samhita as follows. The Lord accepts different spiritual bodies according to the desire of His devotees. For example, the Lord agreed to become the son of Vasudev and Devaki. Thus, although Lord Krishna has an eternal blissful spiritual form, He appears to enter within the body of His devotee, who becomes His mother. Although we speak of the Lord's taking on a body, the Lord does not change His form, as do the conditioned souls, who must change their material bodies. The Lord appears in His own eternally unchangeable forms. Lord Hari always appears in the forms that are especially desired by His loving devotees, and never in other forms. However, if one thinks that the Lord, in the manner of an ordinary person, taken birth, becomes this physical son of Vasudeva, or other devotee, then one is victimized by illusion. The Lord merely expands His spiritual potency, causing His pure devotee to think, Krishna is now my son. One should understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead never accepts or rejects the material body, nor does He ever give up His eternal spiritual forms. Rather, the Lord eternally manifests His blissful bodies according to the loving sentiments of His eternal pure devotees. Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that the word Vyoma also indicates the Lord's name of Paravyoma, or the Lord of the spiritual sky. One should not misinterpret this verse to mean that Lord Krishna is impersonal, like the material sky, or that the form of Krishna is merely another selected incarnation equal to any other. Such casual and whimsical speculations cannot be accepted as actual spiritual knowledge. Sri Krishna is the original personality of God, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, and the Lord has explained elaborately in Bhagavad Gita that He is the original source of everything. Therefore, the pure devotees of the Lord are eternally engaged in full knowledge and bliss, in loving service to the Lord's original form as Krishna. The whole purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to arouse our love for Lord Krishna, and one should not foolishly misunderstand this great purpose. ओम ज्ञानच मनस्य जनंजना शलाकया साक्षम तामेन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय गोत्रे श्रीमति साक्षुपदासोसंहारिणे साक्षुपवेनाम वाणिवीन्द्रिष्णे भक्तिग्रन्थं नैपुण्य भगवन्त शिक्षणम् नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय गोत्रे श्रीमति भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवान् प्रशान् Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Karamayam Dadari Saparantikam. So, we are still at the great conversation between Uddhava and Lord Sri Krishna. Known as the Uddhava Gita. And here three fundamental points are mentioned. One, that the Lord is transcendental. His body is not like an ordinary living being. His body is completely transcendental. Two, he is like the sky, unmoved by what's going on. And three, he takes innumerable incarnations to please his devotee. So, the Lord in Bhagavad Gita says, Janma karma chami devyam evam yo veti tatvata tvaktva deham punar janma naiti mam iti so arjuna. So he's telling us about his body here, or the nature of it. He says, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take birth, his birth again, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So we can see that the Lord himself is saying that if one understands his body is transcendental, understands his activities, understands his birth, his activities, then once he leaves his body, he does not return to this material world, but goes back to the spiritual world. Then again he says, Avajanti mam mudha manushim tanum ashutam. He says, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all of people. See? So here again he's, and we've seen, when Lord Krishna was on the planet Earth, not many people knew that he was the Supreme Lord. And so they thought he was just a cowherd boy. They thought he was just from the Yadu dynasty. They thought he was a Vaishya. In fact, they thought he was a Vaishya. And so they some, especially some of the Kshatriyas, would even try to ridicule him. See? Thinking, well, he cannot fight. In fact, there was a situation with Jarasandha once that, he said, Krishna, you're not ready. Arjuna, you're a little boy. Only Bhima I can take. See? So you could see that Jarasandha was underestimating Krishna, and many other Kshatriyas at the time thought he was just a coward, like even Shishupal was ridiculing him in so many ways. And then there's the other verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vayam tuna vitri payama utam sloka vikarman vikrami. We are never tired of hearing the transcendental pastimes, the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. And this is by the sages to Suta Goswami in Naimisharanya forest. See? So, the Lord is completely transcendental. All his forms, whatever, When he was a baby Krishna, he manifested so many powerful pastimes. He did so many wonderful superhuman activities. And so even as a baby, he is the Lord. He is transcendental. In fact, he is the Supreme Lord, even in the baby form. Remember when he opened his mouth and showed Mother Yashoda his whole universal form? And so many other things. When he was a child also, same thing. So the other point is made here that the Lord is like the sky. In fact, when Maharaj Yadu was speaking to the Avaduta, he was speaking about something he learned from the sky. So many things are taking place in the sky. Hurricane, tornado, rain, clouds, storms. So many different things are taking place. But at the end of all of that, the Lord is unmoved. See, the Lord is unmoved by all these turbulences and disturbances. At the end, he remains calm and placid and clear like the sky. See, so that was the two foremost points. And then the last point is that the Lord incarnates in innumerable forms to please his devotees. So we can touch upon some of the different incarnations of the Lord. There are innumerable, it's stated that there are incarnations of the Lord like waves of the ocean, innumerable incarnations. We have, first we have the Purusha incarnation. See, that's where the Lord takes the form as Karna Dakashai Vishnu, Garbhu Dakashai Vishnu, and Shira Dakashai Vishnu. Where he creates the universe and maintains it, and he enters the body of all living beings as a witness or as a companion to them. See? That's him. Then you have the Kalpa avatars or the Leela avatars. See? Within Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains that there are 25 of these. But I will just recap some of the important ones, or the foremost ones. You had, the first one was Matsya, then Kurma, then Varaha, Nashinga, Nashinga, then Parshuram, then Rama, and Krishna, and Buddha, Kalki. Yeah, so we go through those and see how they're essential for the Lord to bring about bliss to the devotees. Then there are the Guna avatars. That's Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva. Then there is the Guna avatar. There is the Manvantara avatar. See? In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And in a lifetime of Brahma, there are 504,000 Manus. See? 400,000, maybe in a year of Brahma. So all these are Manvantara avatars, and then there are the Shaktivesha avatars. So that's what, six type of avatars. The Purushas, Leelas, Gunas, Shaktivesha, Manvantara, and one more. Anyhow. The Guna? Yoga avatar. Good. At least we're within the Leela avatar, when Matsya appeared, there are two, Srimad Bhagavatam explained two times he appeared. One time in the And this is, we're recapping what we went through Srimad Bhagavatam. The first time is when in the Swayambhuva Manu era. Swayambhuva Manu is the first Manu that came in this day of Brahma. And so the Shakshusha of the Matsya Avatar, Lord Brahma was taking a nap and he yawned and the Vedas escaped from him. And when that happened, two demons, Kaitabya, and what's the other name? They seize the Vedas. Huh? Yeah. They seize the Vedas and hail in the ocean. And so the Lord of Matsya vanquished them and captured the Vedas back and gave it to Lord Brahma. See? So that is when Brahma was in some form of distress, Matsya helped him. Then it's stated that in the Shakshusha Manvantara, Satyavrata, King Satyavrata, there was an inundation or a flood, a huge flood coming. And so the Lord took the form of a fish, and we know the whole story, where he grew and grew until he went to the ocean. But then he told the King Satyavrata that a boat would appear and let the Sapta Rishis a pair of each living entity. Similar to the Noah situation, if we know of Noah's pastime. Something very similar, really. Where they got all a pair of each different living entities and seeds and grains and everything. And they stay in that boat until the flood had passed. See? Like that. So that's Matsya Avatar. So he placed Lord Brahma, Sat King Satyavrata, see, like that. Then Lord Kurma. Lord Kurma Avatar, the demons and the devas, they came to a truce or to an agreement whereby they would churn the ocean of milk, and once this churn the ocean of milk, they would get the nectar of immortality, where they would not die. See, the demons and the demigods. And so they got Mandara Mountain, Vasuki as the rope, and they were churning. But as they were churning, the Mandara Mountain slipped into the ocean. And so the Lord took the form of Kurma, the huge turtle, and went under the mountain, and so they allowed him to chore. And then they were able to get the nectar of immortality. And then the demons had seized the nectar, and they had wanted it, and so then the Lord appeared as Mohini Murti, and says, well, let me share this nectar. And then she deluded the demons, and so the demigods were so much satisfied because they got the nectar of immortality, they were able to vanquish the demons. Then the other incarnation was Lord Varaha. And how did Lord Varaha please his devotee? Can anyone say how did he please his devotee? Huh? Yeah, very good. Bhumidevi was in trouble. She had fallen into the Garbhodakashayi ocean. And so the Lord took the huge form as a boar, dove into the water, lifted it, and set her back in orbit. See? And so that pleased Bhumidevi. And the other thing was Hiranyaksha was giving trouble to the demigods. And then there was a nice transcendental fight with the Lord and Hiranyaksha, where the Lord eventually vanquished him. See? So that's the way the Lord places devotee there. So whenever the devotees are in trouble, the Lord takes these different forms, the appropriate form. It's stated that Varaha was a huge pit, but it was appropriate to go down and dove into the at the bottom of the ocean. See, that was interesting. So after Varaha, there was Narsingha, right? And we know the story of Narsingha, where the Narsingha appeared to please his staunch devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was in so much distress, but amidst all of that, he did not lose faith. He always boasted of his Lord. When Hiranyakashipu asked him, "Is your Lord in this? In here?" Prahlad says, "Yes, in the pillar," and so forth. And so the Lord appeared as Lord Narsingadeva in the pillar and satisfied all of the boons Hiranyakashipu got from Lord Brahma. See, the Lord is so expert that he did not fail Lord Brahma's boon. He allowed all of them to go through, where he allowed him, well, okay, he cannot be killed in the day or in the night. In the day, in the night, in house, out house, and so forth. And so, so the Lord appeared, satisfy Lord Brahma's bones, kill Hiranyakashipu, and reinstall Prahlad as the king. See? So that's the Narsingha avatar. Then the Vamana avatar. Vamana avatara. Can anybody say what was the turmoil then? With Vamana avatar. Bali Maharaj had conquered the universe. Bali Maharaj had conquered the universe. Drove the demigods away from heaven. See? And took over. And so, Kashyapa and Aditi, especially Aditi, prayed to the Lord to reinstall her sons back on the heavenly platform, the heavenly kingdom, and also begged the Lord to born as their child. And so he took birth as the beautiful Vamana Dev, said that of the different avatars, Vamana Dev is considered beautiful. Sometimes it's stated dwarf, but it's not like dwarf. Dwarf is not like a beautiful being. A dwarf has like a huge head and a short arms and stuff like that. So Vamana avatar was not like that. It was different. See? He was very beautiful and nicely shaped and everything. And then he deluded Bali Maharaj. See, when he asked for 3 steps of land and stepped to the whole universe and conquered and took away everything from Bali Maharaj. See, and then the next avatar was Parshuram. And how Parshuram was beneficial to the devotees. The Kshatriya kings were very vicious and very much destructive on the earth. In fact, Jamadagni had a beautiful Kamadenu cow, and Kartavira Arjuna seized it by force. And not only that, but he killed Jamadagni, who was the father of Parshuram. Parshuram was out somewhere. And when Parshuram came back, his mother was beating her chest. And he said, 21 times you have beaten your chest, O mother. 21 times I shall vanquish the Kshatriya race. See? And then he vanquished the Kshatriyas generation after generation. In Kurukshetra, near to Kurukshetra, there's a place called Samanta Pancha. seven lakes where the blood of the Kshatriyas were flowed. Lord Krishna was relating to Yudhishthira how that happened and so forth. And there they were asking, well, how did the Kshatriyas came back? Because he was vanquishing them. And then the Kshatriyas, they were hiding in the ocean. Some hid in the ocean in caves. Some took shelter with bears. The bears helped them. Tigers helped them. Wolf helped them. So many different animals. See, and so forth. And so, after Parshuram was pacified, then those Kshatriyas came back. And so the Kshatriya generation came back to being after Parshuram had vanquished them 21 times. And then we have the other incarnation as Raghupati, Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra was the lovable son of Maharaj Dashrath. In fact, Dashrath didn't have any son. And he was praying like anything to get sons. And he had, the way it happened was, Rishi Sringa did a sacrifice for him. Rishi Sringa had married his daughter called Shanta. Maharaj Dashrath had given his daughter Shanta to his friend. What was the name of his friend again? Madhumati, did you remember? Romapad. Huh? Romapad. Yeah, very good. So Romapad married his daughter to Rishi Sringa. And as soon as that happened, rain started to fall in that kingdom. And then when Maharaj Dashrath was devoid of sons, the sages advised him to get Rishi Sringa to do a sacrifice. And he did that sacrifice. And then Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Shatruhana, and Bharat were born. See? And they would execute so many wonderful pastimes. But Lord Ramachandra did so many wonderful pastimes. When he was young and with Vishwamitra, when he went into the forest, he killed so many demons that were destroying the sages' kundas. The sages had their sacrificial kunda, and these rakshasas would break them and stool and urine on them. And Lord Ramachandra defeated so many of them. Kill all of them. Then there was a sage by the name of Gautama Rishi. He had caused his wife Ahalya to become invisible and to be in that situation. In some kalpas he had caused her to become a stone, but in this kalpa he had caused her to become invisible. And stayed in a certain ashram for thousands of years. And he said, when Lord Ramachandra come on earth, then he will deliver you. So as Vishwamitra was traveling with Lord Ramachandra, he told Ramachandra of this place. And as Lord Ramachandra went, he released Ahalya of that course. And then immediately also Gautama Rishi came to that spot, and he and Ahalya reunited back. See? So the Lord is pleasing his devotees in so many ways. And then we know he would vanquish the ten-headed Ravana. He would make friends with the monkeys. See? Jambavan. In fact, within this purport here, it stated that Lord Krishna would have a fight with Jambavan. Jambavan had surrendered to Lord Ramachandra and helped him win the battle with Ravana. Jambavan was the son of Brahma, Lord Brahma. Stated once, Lord Brahma was yawning and Jambava came out of his mouth, Jambavan. Jambavan is very, very old. He is from Satyur. And so, stated when he was young, he was able to circumambulate, jump around the world like three times. when the monkeys were going to Lanka, they were talking, well, this one could jump so many yojanas and so. And Jambavan said, when I was young, I was able to circle and ambulate the whole world. I think also he said when Trivikram had conquered the three steps, when he made the three steps, he circumambulated the Lord, like, you know, or whatever, the world. He said he circumambulated the Lord, the world three times. So then we'd see that it's stated that Lord Krishna, but I'll touch upon that just now. So Lord Ramachandra did so many miraculously. He built that bridge to Lanka. He vanquished Ravana and established the devotee, his devotee, what was his name? Vibhishan. He established as the king of Lanka. See, he married Sita, got love and Kush, so forth. Kush and love would spread the glories of Lord Ramachandra throughout the world. We know all in places like in the east, Vietnam and Cambodia. Cambodia, and so the plays of Lord Ramachandra are still taking place, different places. See, because Ram, the name of Ram Nam was spread all over the world, throughout the world. And then the next incarnation, Sri Krishna. And of all these incarnations, Sri Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he did so much superhuman activities, and we need not go into them all, but we can say that he, you know, so many, within the purports, Srila Jiva Goswami mentioned that how he appeared with Jambavan and had a very nice fight until Jambavan recognized that this is his Lord, no other than Lord Ramachandra. And then Lord Brahma, you know, how he had to appear, because Brahma didn't realize that he was the Supreme Lord and so forth. Indra also with the rain, Brahma stealing the calves. He had wonderful pastimes with his devotees, the cowherd boys and girls. He had a wonderful Rasa Leela with the gopis. In fact, when the sages of Dandaka forest, they had wanted to embrace the Lord, he said, it's not possible then. But in your next life, you will become gopis. So one group of gopis were the sages of that, of the time of Lord Ramachandra. And they were able to embrace the Lord and dance with him and so forth in the Rasa Leela dancing. So then we have that, and then the other avatar would be Lord Buddha. And Lord Buddha, he would bring some stability in the animal world when innumerable sacrifices were taking place. He stopped all these sacrifices. People were mercilessly killing the animals. I mean, it's taking place now also. They are mercilessly. But in Lord Buddha time, they were doing it on the basis of the Vedas. See? And so Lord Buddha had denied the Vedas and stopped the sacrifices. And so he brought some joy to the animal world. And then, of course, we know the last avatar would be Kalaki. Kalaki avatar, where the world would become so much demoniac, devoid of any good. In fact, it's stated by the end of Kalaki, people would not even know who is God. There would be no praying or anything really. So many atrocious things would take place. And so Lord Kalki would come, vanquish all the miscreants. Well, almost the whole world would be miscreants really. And then he would establish the new Kaliyuga. See? And so of course there's so many other avatars really. The Manvantara avatar, and so King and the Yuga avatars and so forth. But I would not touch upon those really. But all these avatars come to help the devotees in some way or the other. And so Uddhava is telling Lord Krishna that how he is taking all these different incarnations to please his devotees. Well, of course, apart from that, he also, okay, what he says, Parchanaya Salman Vinashaya Sadhusma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuga Yuga. See? Vanquish the demons, re-establish religious principles, protect devotees, all these different things he came to do. And so these are the three main points that we've touched upon in this verse. And if anybody would like to make any comments or any correction or any suggestion, whatever. Mataji?
Can you please just repeat the verse?
Of which one? Oh, this verse here. Okay. Yeah. Sure. My dear Lord, as the absolute truth, your transcendental to material nature. So he's transcendental. Like the sky, you are never entangled in any way. Still, being controlled by your devotee's love, you accept many different forms, incarnating according to your devotee's desires. See? So the Lord, and then, you know, Jiva Goswami was given so much examples of the Lord as Jambavan and all these other different examples. Yeah?
I find it interesting the way you stated that Lord Buddha came to give joy to the animal kingdom. That's quite interesting. Where did that phrase come from?
I made up that phrase, but that's exactly, if you're not going to kill the animals. I mean, if you look at the animal kingdom, when they're being killed by lions and so, they're so unhappy. I mean, imagine a lion is eating a deer alive, or eating a buffalo alive, or a cow alive. Imagine that. Suppose an animal grab a human being and eat it. You know how painful that is? You see? So then Lord Buddha stopped all these sacrifices, really. I mean, that was so good to the animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, you said that Kalki, when he, at the end of annihilating all the demons, he brings in the new Kali Yuga.
No, the new Satyuga.
Oh, he does. He brings in the new Satyuga.
He would establish. What happened? There are some devotees that are still in Kalapagram. Kalapagram, that's what Srimad Bhagavatam says. And those might be the new kings for Satyuga. It's stated. Srimad Bhagavatam, we've touched this many times. Kalapagram is a very special place. It's a holy place in India. In fact, there was once, I can't remember exactly who was questioning the there was a sage had many disciples in Kalapagram, and I don't know if it was a demigod or as a sage wanted to get some answers, some very technical answers, and the sage says, you can answer my dullest student, you know, because these were really high order questions, and the sage said, you could ask my dullest, the most stupid student that I have here, you ask him and he would answer this. And that student answered all the questions so nicely, you would not believe. I read it in one of the Puran, but I forgot which one really. But it was so beautiful, it was amazing. And so they said that Kalapagram is a holy place.
Where is it?
Huh?
Where is it in India?
Well, to be honest though, I didn't research, but it seems like South India. You see, but anyhow, and so right now, Shantanu brother, one of Maharaj Shantanu brother is residing there, and somebody is, and they would be the kings of the new Satyuga, in Kalapagram. Yeah. But it made sense, because I know I had given class on Kalapagram one time, and I didn't understand the meaning of this place, but after I read this part, then I realized how powerful it is. Really. See? Alright, any other point or so? Srimad Bhagavatam ki.